Malachim Paragimel Pasuk Ches. Malachim Aleph Paragimel Pasuk Ches. Ve'avicha b'soif amcha asher b'charta. This is again Shlomo talking to Hashem, thanking him for his kindness with him and with his father David. Amra v'shalim man v'lo yisafer merayv. Right? This, you put me into this nation, which is a very, first of all, there are many people, quantity-wise. Secondly, they're an Am Kovit, meaning they're a heavy nation. They have a lot to deal with, right? It's not easy to deal with Jews, you know? You have two Jews, three opinions. Say, if a Jew goes on to, if he's washed onto a lone island somewhere in the middle of nowhere, he builds two shuls. One shul that he davens in, one shul that he doesn't daven in. Right? So, Shlomo HaMelech is telling God, Baruch Hu, this is where, you know, this is where I'm holding. This is who I'm dealing with. So, I don't have enough chachma mitzad myself. This is all a, this is all a pre, this, he's preparing for his big ask that he's going to ask Kodesh Baruch Hu for Chachma, for wisdom.
Well, see, one thing is, no matter what, some say it was 20, some say it was 12. All right. But I think he means I have not enough experience in these matters to do it right.
Right.
I mean, the longer you do something, the more experience you get. Right. More experience.
Yeah, that's part of what he's saying. Yeah. So now he's going to make the ask. Now he's going to make his pitch. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me a listening heart. To judge your nation, to know between good and bad. Right? How else would I be able, right? Like you said, I don't have the experience, right? I'm a young boy. I don't have the experience. I don't have the wisdom. I need you to please give me wisdom, right? So I can hear. So I can. I would be able to judge your people. Now, this is big ask. And Hashem says, "Va'itav adavar b'nei adonai kishal shloim esadavar zeh." Hashem is very, very pleased with this request of Shloim HaMelech. Now the Malbim asks, "Why is Hashem so pleased? Right? Well, what's so special about this?" He gives a mashal. He gives an analogy. He says, imagine for a minute you have a king offering his general. You have one of two options. Either I'm going to give you a precious gem. It's worth $30,000 or whatever, $30 billion, whatever it is. Or option number two, I'll give you a Sefer Torah. And connected to the Sefer Torah, inside the Sefer Torah, is a precious gem that's worth also $30 million, whatever it is. What's so special? Meaning what? What's the nimshal? Hashem is, the Malbim is saying that when Shlomo is asking for wisdom, wisdom really, really essentially includes everything. It includes wealth. If you're wise enough, you could become wealthy, right? It says, Oyshir yamim, oyshir v'chavoyd b'imino. Sorry, oyrech yamim b'imino. V'smaylo oyshir v'chavoyd. If you have wisdom, then you have oyrech yamim, you have a long life, a lengthy life. And also you have Oishar v'chavod, you have wealth, and you have kavod, you have honor, right? Meaning that's all encompassed in this package of the Chachma. So why is Hashem so impressed? Oh, wow, Shlomo HaMelech asked for Chachma, that's all he cares about. But that encompasses everything. It encompasses wealth, it encompasses long life, it encompasses honor, people respecting you. So what's so impressive? Answers in the Malbim, he says like this. He says that it's true. And Echanami, 100%, it's true that wisdom, Chachma, includes a lengthy life, wealth, honor. However, what Shlomo HaMelech was focused on, what he really, truly wanted, he only wanted Chachma. He didn't care about the wisdom. Sorry, he didn't care about the wealth. He didn't care about the lengthy life. It wasn't a game changer for him. Meaning, even if hypothetically, the wisdom would not include lengthy life and wealth, he would still go for it. It's not why he wanted it. The reason he says in Pasuk Tes, he says, why he wants wisdom. He says, why? In order to judge your people. That's why I want it. I don't want it to make money. It's not what I'm in for. He doesn't care about that. And Hashem obviously knows Hashem is able to penetrate into our heart and know what we're really thinking, what we're feeling. And I mean, clearly he knew that that's what Shlomo really wanted. That's why Hashem is so enamored by this request of Shlomo HaMelech.
Without with him, I would say is I think the same thing. You know, it don't have to explain it to me. If I'm looking at that, he asks an understanding how to judge your people.
Right.
That's what he wants. So
right.
I would just say, but what's the big deal? What's the big deal? It is a big deal. Really, it is a big deal. He's giving you a muscle. He's giving you both sides. But I wouldn't even think, I wouldn't even ask that question.
You don't think it's a kasha, okay.
It seems to me he's asking him the right thing.
Right.
He's asking me the right thing.
Yeah, okay. The Malbim thinks it's a kasha, meaning he's asking a kasha.
Okay.
But he's saying that.
But I may discern between good and bad.
Yeah, right. That's what he wants.
Naturally, I mean,
it's all determined. It's all determined by the purpose you're asking it for.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And Shlomo speaks it out. He says, "Ki mi yuchalish b'itasam chakavod hazeh? Who can judge your great nation, your heavy nation, without wisdom?" So it's all looked at by the purpose. So if someone would ask for chachma because he wants to achieve wealth, then that would be the purpose. That's what the main request is. I want to get wealthy. How do they do it? They do it through chachma. That's the means. But his end goal, his end game is wealth.
I wouldn't think that.
No, I'm saying if someone would do that,
yeah,
obviously
yeah,
that's
I
not
know,
the case.
It just seems that there's no question why Hashem was pleased.
Okay. So for you it's simple. Okay. The Malbim seems to think that's the question. Okay, in any case, Hashem answers him and he tells him, because all you ask for is chachma, is for wisdom, for the right reason. You didn't ask for a lengthy life, you didn't ask for wealth, you didn't ask for to conquer
to
your enemies, right? All you wanted is to know
to judge,
right? To able to judge. Yeah, right. That's all you wanted to do. All you wanted to judge, and that's why Hashem is praising this request of Shlomo and saying, wow, this is unbelievable, I'm so impressed. Hina asisik et varecha, therefore I'm going to do as you requested. Hina nasata lecha leib chacham benavain. Right? I'm going to give you a heart full of wisdom. Asher kamecha lehoya lefanecha v'acherecha leyokum kamecha. This is a very interesting line. Hashem is telling him, I'm going to give you so much wisdom, there won't be anyone before you or anyone after you that's as wise as you're going to be. Now, what's the obvious question? Who's known to be the greatest chacham? Is Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, obviously, it says he definitely achieved the highest level of nevuah. Now, we're going to see later on. It's not very simple that Shlomo HaMelech at all achieved nevuah. It happens to be a machlekes between the Ma'ari and the Rambam if he had all achieved nevuah. But in any case, the Radak points out that what Moshe Rabbeinu was wiser than him is he calls it Chachma Sa'ilakus, meaning the spiritual wisdom Moshe was on a higher level than him. However, Chachma Sateva, the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of nature, in that area Shlomo was wiser than Moshe Rabbeinu. So when Hashem was telling him there wasn't anyone wiser than you before, prior to you, that's referring to the area of Chochmas HaTeva, the area of the nature, the wisdom of nature, and that, in that case, you are wise, even than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is higher than you in Chochmas HaLakus.
It's easy to understand, because Moshe Rabbeinu only had business with Hashem. Aaron had business with everybody.
Right.
Aaron.
Richie, can you pass the tissue? Richie, can you pass the tissue, please? Tissue.
Tissue. Yeah. Tissue.
Thank you.
You know, you go with the everyday world, you have to deal with people.
Right.
And if you don't deal with people, you don't really know how to judge people, how
right.
things go.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So another explanation the Radak is giving is that when it says that there won't be anyone wiser than you before, prior to you, that is referring to the Melochim, meaning within the kings, there is no one that's wiser than you are, than you will be, right? But again, if it's talking about someone else, a prophet, or like Moshe Rabbeinu, then they could be that they were wiser than you.
Again, just want to interject one thing. Why he had to ask for that?
For wisdom?
Because he was a kid, that's why.
Asked, not just the wisdom, but to have the heart to be able to discern like this. Because a human being, ever since the ate the apple, he has the pull.
Right.
Pull. And it's very easy to fall into the wrong path.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, he's asking, please, I'm gonna have a lot of cases, a lot of things, everything else. Please make me do the right thing, because if he doesn't have that there like that, it's easy to fall into the wrong thing. And you would think you're doing the right thing, and actually you're doing the wrong thing.
Right. Right, right. That's what happened after.
Well, that's what he's asking. That's why I can understand that. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, every day you think you're a great, you know everything, but you come across a thing and you did the wrong thing. Why?
Right.
But it has to be infused into you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. Good point. V'im telech b'drach ha'lish mar chukai mitzvoy sai. Now it's very interesting. It says Hashem is promising Shlomo. He's promising him two things. First of all, what you requested, that I'll give you, no problem. I'm going to add you an extra bonus, right? Because you requested only wisdom. That's all you really wanted. I'm going to give you an extra bonus. I'm going to give you Oysher. I'm going to give you wealth, and I'm going to give you lengthy life. However, if you notice, When he promises him wealth, he does not give any conditions. No preconceived conditions, right? Wealth is yours, done,
no matter what. Yeah.
However, if you look in Pasuk Gedalet, and he says, I'm going to give you lengthy life. What does he say over there? Only on condition that what? That you follow the ways of David your father. If you in fact follow the ways of David your father, then you're going to have lengthy life. If you don't, which, as we all know, Shlomo HaMelech,
he didn't have life.
Right, he did not have lengthy life. Again, because...
He said, some say he's only 60 years old when he
died. Yeah, he was 52, according to some opinions. So because his many, many women that he converted ended up worshipping idols, and it says they convinced him to worship idols as well, or they were just it's as if he was worshiping idols because he did not stop them, right? But in any case, it was not Shem was not happy with that, and therefore this promise of a lengthy life was not fulfilled, unfortunately. Vega Shlomo Vena Cholim. Shlomo wakes up, and until he was so enamored, he thought it was actually real life. He thought he was actually talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was so real. So real, and then he woke up, and then he realized, oh, it was only a dream. It wasn't actually happening. It wasn't happening in real life. Only then he realized. So this is where the Malbim brings down that the machlek is between the Ma'ari. Ma'ari holds that this, in fact, was a real prophecy. Like any other prophet, it goes through, his body actually is, I don't know if it's physically in the presence of Hashem, but he has all this whole episode. His body goes into some kind of seizure, and he has an out-of-body experience, and that's a real, true experience of prophecy. But according to the Rambam, no. According to the Rambam, it wasn't a prophecy. It was just a dream, right? Like any of us, we have dreams, right? It was just, you know, a different kind of dream, but yet just a dream. It was not on the level of a real prophecy. Yeah. Okay, so in any case, Shlomi wakes up. V'yovei Yerushalayim. He comes to Yerushalayim. V'yamoy lifnei Aron Bris Adayna v'yal oiles v'yas Shlomi v'yas mish l'chol avadav. So he wakes up. He's mamash enamored, flabbergasted by his request that was granted for wisdom. And as a thanks, the token of thank you, he comes to Yerushalayim. He brings many sacrifices, and he makes a big party. Okay, so this is the famous parasha. Now that he was given the chachma. Now, right after this episode, the story with the famous story with the two women happens in order to illustrate both to him and to everybody else how smart and wise he really is. So let's see what happens. This is very interesting, this story. Astavoyna, Oz is just like we say Oz Yasher, it's referring to like meaning immediately after this whole story. These two women come over. Two women who were prostitutes, according to one opinion. According to another opinion, they weren't prostitutes. They were just supplying food.
How does the tight zonas, if not prostitute?
When it says by Rochav, for example, right?
Yeah.
By Rochav, when the... It says that she was an Isha Zaina.
Uh-huh.
So over there, the commentary is translated, it wasn't necessarily a prostitute. Rather, she was someone who provided food. She was available to everybody for food, but it didn't mean a prostitute.
Okay. In that sense. They were...
Anyway.
They were both mothers, but one was the daughter-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I haven't seen that.
Anyway,
one was the
mother-in-law, mother, and one was the daughter-in-law.
With the baby, and it was she wanted her to marry somebody else, or she'd have to wait.
Right.
Why do we?
Chalitza and the whole.
Why do we have to know what they were? They were two women. This could be any women, any time. Why did they have to put in the word zonas? I mean, what's so important about it? If two women come and this happened, it'd be the same problem.
Right.
Why does he have to use
right,
that?
Right, yeah. Why is that detail important?
What is he trying to tell us about these two women?
Good question. I don't know.
Okay.
And we find that sometimes, you know, we find it many times when when a woman is a prostitute.
His wisdom, at the end, what he said, could apply to any two women, or any case that this happens at any time. There could be two real world women that they're terrific, they're everything else. It's a problem with that. I mean, he puts the word zonas in there for a reason.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why.
All right. This is a real story. Real story. This is a woman where this was a...
You're saying you were just speaking out the story. It happened to be that's what they were, so the Navi speaking it out. Okay, I hear. In any case, they come in front of Shlomo, and they stand in front of him, meaning they're coming for a psak din. They're coming to him as a court, as a judge. One of the women starts off and she says, "Be a doini, ani v'aisha zois kiyoshvos b'bayis echad." Me and this woman happen to live in one house. Not only in one house, but we live in the same room. We're going to see why this detail is significant in a minute.
Yeah.
It said, we gave birth at home, meaning no one from the outside knew that we gave birth. It was just us. We were the only two women in the house. We gave birth alone. There was no one there, and therefore you can't say that someone from outside knew about the baby and then he came and he kidnapped it. No.
And they switched it.
There was no one from the outside. No one knew about this. It was completely private. On the third day, of me giving birth, meaning the baby is 3 days old now. But Taylor Gamaisha Azais, this other woman gave birth as well. Banachnu Yachdov, we are together. Ain Zaritana Babais, meaning not only do we live in the house, but there's no one in the house other than us. Zlosi Shtaim Anachnu Babais, meaning she's emphasizing that we are the only two. We are the only two in the house. There's no one with us. No one even knew from the outside, right? You can't say, someone came from the outside. They saw that we gave birth. So maybe they kidnapped. No one knew. No one knew. It was private. And therefore, there's no way to say that someone kidnapped one of the babies. So she's pointing out that there's no one in the whole house. Meaning, we live together in one room, right? Like she said before. Bais echad doesn't mean necessarily one house. It's bais in this context is referring to one room. And then she says later, "Ein zaritana bais," meaning there is not anybody, even in the other rooms of the house, no one is living. So it's not like there's a few rooms and we happen to live in one of the room. No, we had no other people in the whole house. Vayelas b'neisha azayis laila. This other woman who gave birth second, her son ended up dying at night, a cradle death. He did not die a cradle death. She, this other woman, mistakenly crushed him in her sleep. She made the common mistake, unfortunately it is common, where women, mothers, want to have the baby sleep with them in the same bed. It's extremely dangerous because they're so small, so delicate.
It could be suffocated.
Yeah, it could be very easily suffocated. And that's how he died. We're going to see later on why that's significant, that he died in that way and not any other way. Maybe he died a cradle death. How do you know that she suffocated him? We'll see. So this woman is speaking out the story. She's, again, accusing this other woman. But talk on Basaycha Laila, she gets up, this other woman gets up in the middle of the night, but Tikach's Benima Etzli, she takes my son from me, Valmasecha Yeshena, right? I was sleeping, I was not aware of anything. But Tashkiveu Becheka, again, she puts him in her arms, Vesbena Meis, Yishkiva Becheki. And her dead baby she put in my arms.
They switched,
yeah? Welcome back here. Lehenik is bini. Vehina meis. I wake up in the morning to nurse my child, and lo and behold, the baby's dead. Rahman al Itzlan. Vesbain and Ail Babaker. Vehini loya bini, Asher Lavati. I take a second look at him, and I realize that this baby is not the baby I give birth to, meaning I recognized the face of the baby. Right? Why? Now, how was she able to recognize? That's why she pointed out in the beginning that she gave birth three days earlier. After 3 days, you could already recognize the first day or two, you can't really, all the babies look the same, you can't really tell the difference. The third day already, the baby gets his own look. You can actually tell that what he looks like. So she's saying, since I already gave birth 3 days prior to this story, I knew what he looked like. So you can't say, oh, you know, how do you know? You can't tell. No, it was already 3 days, I could tell. The second woman says, no. Loi, ki bnei achai uvnei chames. Right? The woman who's being accused, right? So again, we have a woman who's speaking out, who's the accuser. Yeah? And then we have the woman who's being accused. The woman who's being accused is saying, no, what are you talking about? My son is the live son. Ubnei chames. Your son is the one who died. The Zaisamar Sloy. She says, no. Ki bnei chames, your son is the dead son. Ubnei achai. My son is the live son. So the Baron Lifnei HaMelech. And they present their cases to the king. Now, it's interesting. It seems like, at least according to some of Farshim, that Shlomo HaMelech already knew at this point who was lying and who wasn't. How would he know? How could he possibly know at this point who's saying the truth? This is before, again, we all know the story. He ordered them to cut the baby in half, right? And then the woman who was a real mother said, no, don't cut him in half, give him to the other one. And the other woman who said, yeah, cut him in half, she was obviously the liar. But this is before that whole thing, right? Right after they presented their cases, Shlomo HaMelech already knew at this point who's lying and who's not. He only brought the whole illustration with a sword to prove to everyone who's really lying. But he himself knew already. He knew. It was clear to him. How would he know? How could he possibly know at this point who is lying and who is saying the truth?
It had to do with the way the other one was talking. I forgot it.
Exactly. What did she say? Look very carefully at Pasuk Chav
Beis. Yes, I'm looking at the words.
Let's read again Pasuk Chav Beis. What does it say? V'toymar isha acheres. Again, the woman who's being accused. She's saying loy. Saying no. Ki b'nei achai, my son is alive, your son is dead. The accuser is saying no. Zoysameres, the accuser is saying no. Ki b'nei achai, your son is dead, my son is alive. So again, the woman who's being accused is saying, my son is alive, your son is dead. The woman who's accusing switches the order. She's saying first, no, your son is dead, my son is alive. This is a great illustration into human nature. People, when they present their cases, they always present what they care about most first. Right? What they care about most, that's what they talk about first. Because that's what really...
So the one who said, your son is dead, that's what she
exactly,
wanted.
Exactly, that's what she wanted. She wanted, you know, your son is dead. That's what she wanted. She doesn't care about the lifestyle.
She's worried about her own son. He says, no, my son is alive.
Exactly.
But first she says, she knows the truth.
Exactly.
No, your son is dead.
No, your son is dead. That's what she really cares about. The other woman, what does she say? No. The one who's being accused, saying, no, my son is alive. Your son is dead. My son is alive. Right? She says that first. Yeah. So from that, Shlomo already knew, was clear to him, who was lying and who was saying the truth. V'yemer melech zoysameres, ze b'ni achoy, u'b'nei chameis. Zoysameres, loy, ki b'nei chameis, u'b'nei achoy. Now, Shlomo HaMelech is repeating their argument. And you see what he says? He says, this one says, my son is alive, yours is dead. The other one is saying, your son is dead, my son is alive. So Shlomo HaMelech is pointing out to them, I already chapped. I already know who's lying. Don't think you fooled me.
You said they said different way?
Yeah. Look at Pasuk Chav Beis, 22. The woman, yeah, you see?
Russian translated the same.
Really? The woman who's being accused is saying first, she's saying, my son is alive. And then afterwards she's saying, your son is dead. The other woman is saying, no, your son is dead, my son is alive. She switches the order.
No, but this is saying translated.
Oh, really? They translated the same?
Same.
Oh, okay. Not such a good translation. You gotta change it. It's very important. It's very, very important. The order is crucial.
He's saying if it was a real thing, you couldn't tell if they both said the same thing. Then you couldn't tell.
Right. Because...
She said the same thing. No, my son's alive. That's what I'm hearing. My son's alive. Okay.
Right, who cares about, you know, your son?
Right.
My son is alive. That's right. That's what you should care about.
Can't be.
It's all about the subtleties. Yeah,
okay.
It's all about the subtleties. V'yemar HaMelech. Now Shlomo is gonna show everyone how smart he really is. V'yemar HaMelech, Kuli Cherev, bring me a sword. V'yaviyo Cherev l'shnei HaMelech. They brought the sword in front of the king. V'yemar HaMelech, Gizru Esayel D'chali Shnayim. Cut the live one into half. V'tnu Esachatzi La'achas, V'esachatzi La'echos. Cut the live one into two, give one half to one woman, the other half to the other woman. The Toymer Isha Shabna Chai, the woman whose son is alive, saying, Elamelech, Nichmeru Rachamel Bana, her mercy was awakened for a son. The Toymer Biadoinit, Tnula Seilo the Chai, Bameis Leitumisu. She's saying, give the live one to him and don't kill him. The other woman obviously is not the mother of the live one. She's saying, no, let's cut him into two, and
nobody has anything. I don't want to be the other one who lost my son. I want you to lose your son, too.
Right.
That's what it comes out to.
Right, exactly.
But even before we get to this, but if you think about it, why would anybody think that he's gonna cut a living being in two? How could it be possible to... The problem is which one belongs to the live one. Not, I want a piece of this one, I want the whole thing. How is it possible he's saying, all right, I'll do it. How could he, we understand what he's doing.
Right.
He was compassionate.
Right, obviously he's bluffing.
He was compassionate. But before we get to the right after the end with the other one, he says, what do you mean? How can you say cut him too? How can you kill a living thing? How can you think a living thing?
Right.
I mean, I understand what he's trying to do, but it's probably Slaymer, what are you saying?
Right, listen, there were kings. This is right in the beginning of his reign. No one really knows what he's all about at this point. He's a young boy, right? Listen, you might think, the guy's a fool. He has no idea what he's talking about. There were plenty of kings back in the day who would just, cut people up, no questions asked, just chop off his head because they don't like the way he looks. Right? It was very common back in the day for kings to just kill people with no good reason, right? So we don't, meaning if he was known to be a compassionate king, then people would obviously know that he's bluffing, right? But this is right at the beginning of his reign. No one has any clue what he's all about at this point. So his bluff was pretty good. What is a question though is when the first woman, right, that who really is the mother of the dead of the live baby, right? She says, "Well, no, give the live baby to her. It's fine. She can have it." So at that point, why does the other mother say, no, let's cut him in half? Why would she say that? She should say, great, yeah, give him to me, I'll take him. That sounds like a good deal. Why didn't she agree? Why does she say, no, cut him in half? I insist. Let's cut him in half. Why does she say that?
That's
a better question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? It's almost Myriv. So the Radak asked this question. So he says that she figured. Right? Why didn't she actually take it after she was offered a deal? Yeah, it's fine. You could have him. Why didn't she accept the deal? She knew, right? Obviously, she knows the truth. She knew that this other woman has mercy on the son, right? And she thought. Meaning the only reason why she's saying it is because the other woman has mercy on her son. She doesn't want him to be killed. Right? She thought that the king, right? The king will not agree to that. The king will not allow the baby to go to her. Because the king would not, meaning it wasn't clear to him yet that she was in fact his mother. Meaning the king cares about justice. He cares about who's really the mother. If it wasn't clear to him that she was the mother, then the king would not necessarily agree to that. Yeah? Okay, I'll have to stop here. Yeah. All right, well, we'll finish this next week.